the trails, woods, and waters of the Great Lakes State to the Michigan Talk Network. It's Wild Michigan with your host, Duran Martinez.
Welcome to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez. Very happy to have you back. Another segment, another week, another year of Wild Michigan. 15 of them to count so far, but very happy to have you here. Thanks to our friends, Not Just Guns, Cedar Street at 127 in Mason, for all of your firearm and everyday carry needs. You can go online. Maybe hit them up on the monthly auction. Find the things you need. And if you're listening anywhere in the country, okay, you can get your things shipped to you via their mailing system, and they take care of it. They look through all of the rules, whatever it takes. If you're in California, New York, or the other places that don't like guns, or the places that love guns, like Michigan, Texas, and everywhere else. I know there's a lot of Californians that love their guns. I'm just picking on you. But they'll take care of you. Also, the same with our friends at Conquest Sense. We talked with Doug Roberts, and right now is the time to check on things like Danger Zone and its Bird Down Sense on top of the typical sense you get, the VS1 and the Evercomb. And some new products that we heard about that we can't talk about yet because it's not hasn't made it to the packages yet. But you will hear about it absolutely first right here on Wild Michigan. Very happy to have the ability to bring you the newest and the latest and greatest through us here. And we're going to welcome someone new to the show, KC Farney with Hunt Grill Oil. That's his Facebook page. And, you know, you have these friends, these guys that are just whatever they put on there that they're making looks incredible. And finally, I had enough. I called up Casey and said, hey, dude, we got to have you on the show. And that's why we have you here. Welcome, sir. How are you? Good. It's good to have you here, man. And you know what? I can only take looking at what you're throwing in the smoker or putting on the grill so many times without actually getting the lowdown on it.
Right.
So, dude, talk about how did you get started with this? Because a lot of us, you know, we just get involved by watching our parents. But this is like a whole different level when you get to what you do.
Well, I was stationed in the military down south at Fort Benning. And down there, you could get good barbecue literally anywhere. Street corners, little shops, you know, big shops, big places, it's all this awesome barbecue. So I moved back up to Michigan after I got out of the service. There was no barbecue culture here, absolutely none whatsoever. And then you started getting, you know, a little bit here and there, some of the chain stores. Then you started seeing some of the mom and pop stuff, and I still wasn't doing it. I went so far as to become a barbecue judge so that I could go and eat barbecue, and I still wasn't cooking. Yeah. You know, because, and that actually turned into, like, it was more of a chore than enjoying the barbecue. The wedding gift, my brothers got me a smoker, a pellet smoker, 2018, I think. Yeah, so 2018, yeah, I remember the year I was married. But, and I just started playing with it. I've always loved good food, and I love to eat, and I like feeding people, and barbecue is just such a great way to do that.
It is. And you know what? You hit the nail right on the head when you said that there is no local barbecue culture. I'm going to throw out one. There's a couple of places, okay? My good friend Fred Mendoza, fantastic, fantastic barbecue guy. My friend Gump Garman, a guy I went to school with from 7th through 12th grade, you know, at Lansing Catholic, Gump's Barbecue in Lansing, fantastic barbecue. Other than that, we've got Squat. Okay, I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
And yes, I've had everybody else's barbecue. Those are my two places. But what I see you throwing down is just incredible. And, I mean, there's such it's a long process. It's a slow process, but it's very rewarding. And you have to have patience to do a good barbecue.
Yeah, absolutely. It takes a lot of pre-planning, which I think puts a lot of people off. I mean, I do everything. Yeah, it's a long story, but We were passing around a bottle of barbecue sauce. I turned it over, looked at the ingredients. My wife and I try to eat healthy, do healthy things, you know, exercise, whatever. The first ingredient is high fructose corn syrup. And I said, I can do better than this. So I started making my own barbecue sauce. I'm making my own barbecue rubs. I'm making my own spice blends. There's lots of good ones out there. But that's just part of the process for me, is making, like, literally everything from scratch as much as I can.
You know, I bought and the... So, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm just saying, it just takes a lot of planning when you're doing these things.
And again, that's what throws me right out of the equation. It's called time and effort. Casey Farney from Hunt Grill Oil. That's his Facebook page. If you'd like to look him up, we'll put a link on our website at wildmichiganradio.com. There are so many things that you can do. I bought this beautiful Oklahoma Joe smoker, and brother, I'll tell you, it never came out of the box because of the patience it took to put that monstrosity together, and then the things you got to do before you can even get started. But let's just say, for the sake of argument, we've got our smoker, we're ready to go on this thing. There is a brining process that has to take place with a lot of stuff, and that's going to be my first roadblock right there, because I really don't know anything about it.
Yeah, a lot of the brining is actually pretty simple, but it's another one of those steps that you have to make time for. I'll just give you my, when I'm going to do barbecued chicken or turkey or wild turkey. It's wild turkey season. This works great for wild turkey too. You just take a gallon of water, preferably distilled, a cup of brown sugar. I use a half a cup of salt and a half a cup of Frank's Red Hot. Mix that together, throw your chicken, your bird, your whatever you want in there, anywhere from 12 to 24 hours, pull it out. Wipe it dry, put your rub on, throw it on the smoke.
See, a simple process that, again, has eluded me because, you know, I'm like, oh, my God, what goes in this? You know, and I could look it up, and there are all those different ways. But you just put something across that is so simple. And, again, that time period of which it soaks, what exactly is that doing before we throw it on the smoker?
So, I just listened to a podcast about this, and there's a scientific explanation on how it does it. What it does is it starts to draw moisture out of the cells of the turkey or the bird or the meat, and then at a certain point, it starts reabsorbing moisture back into the meat, so the actual cells themselves are retaining more moisture. And also, if it's in too long, you start to get cellular disruption. And that just makes for a more tender meat. So you're adding moisture and you're tenderizing the meat.
So a little bit longer is okay.
Yeah, I wouldn't go too far. I wouldn't go much over 24 hours with anything.
Oh, no, no.
That's for a brine.
Right.
You know, a cure is a different thing. And so we're just talking a brine. But
yeah, let's just stay.
Yeah, I wouldn't go any longer than 24 hours.
Let's not go crazy and start throwing things at me that I'm going to get confused.
Yeah.
Casey Farney's our guest here on Wild Michigan. Our website, wildmichiganradio.com, and his Facebook page is Hunt Grill Oil. And that's a really cool combination of things, because this is what we love to do. We love to hunt. We love to put things on the grill. And the oil, you make your own oil.
I do. You know, you can buy, like, these infused oils that have flavor in them. And my wife is a Young Living essential oil distributor. They have a Vitality line, which is actually a food-grade oil line. And I use those oils in the oils that I'm making for cooking. So I'm adding flavor in every step. I try to add flavor. So when you're doing a brine, you're adding flavor. When you're doing your, if I use oil for a binder for the rub, if I have flavor in the oil, there's flavor there. The rub itself adds a layer of flavor. So it's just building layer upon layer upon layer of flavor.
All right. Casey Farney is our guest. Facebook page, Hunt Grill Oil. Going to get a link on our website, wildmichiganradio.com. More with Casey coming up next on the Michigan Talk Network.
You can send your suggestions, comments, or questions to us here via email at outdoormailbag@gmail.com. Now, back to Wild Michigan.
Turn the quiet up, turn the noise down. Let this old world just spin around.
Welcome back to Wild Michigan. I'm Duran Martinez, being brought to you by our friends at Conquest Sense. Find them online, conquestsense.com. Doug Roberts, the Deer Professor. Great segment earlier with him talking about fawns and them kind of popping up everywhere. If you see a fawn, if you think it's distressed, by all means, it's not. Leave it alone. And Doug had some good information as to how to tell if a fawn has been abandoned by its mother. And if you missed any of that, pick it up on the podcast, by all means, to learn for yourself. I mean, we have learned so much from Doug and every other guest that's been on this show that it's just amazing. And that's what we are able to do this time and time again. We've got Casey Farney joining me right now. Hunt Grill Oil is his Facebook page. You can join him on there and see what he's got on the grill or in the smoker or what he's finding out in the woods. Casey, you did some foraging, and you know, look, we talked about morels here like last week on the show, and I probably had half our listenership just change the dial when I said I don't get it. I'm not a huge morel fan. maybe it's finding them, but I want something with a bit more flavor or just something interesting. And you found some pheasant. Was it pheasant backs?
Pheasant backs. Yep.
That's a
It's not one that gets talked about too much, and honestly, it wasn't one for me that I knew about until just a couple of years ago. I just keep trying to learn more all the time, and we have some people here at work that are very into foraging, like at a level that I will never even attempt to get at. But some of the other easier spring mushrooms, besides the finding morels, the pheasant backs, oyster mushrooms, and then you've got wild plants growing too, like wild chive and, you know, if you're not on public ground, if you're on private ground, you can take those. There's just so much out there that it's, you know, I just try to learn what's out there, what's new. It's an ingredient for a recipe that I can't get anywhere else.
You know what? And that's just it, too. Or when you go to, we talked, I'm going to go backwards a little bit. We had talked to David A. Rose about that, about foraging and finding the morels, where I kind of outed myself and said I wasn't a huge fan. I've got nothing against them, but, you know, I mean, it's not my favorite thing. And he talked about the wild chives and all the other stuff. There's so much stuff available out there that if you know safely what you're foraging for and what you're collecting, also the tastes of them, you could incorporate that into your grilling and your creating in the smoker on the grill.
Yeah, for sure. I'm going to look for morels this weekend. Again, I shot a turkey last Friday. I've been turkey hunting 25 years. This is the biggest turkey I've ever shot.
Nice.
It is a monster. So I found chives there where I was hunting him, and I want to find some morels. I'm going to take some of the leg, the thigh meat, some of the meat off the carcass, and I'm going to turn that into wild turkey sausage with chives and morels. So that's the plan for that.
And I'm glad you brought that up, because sausage, you can make about anything into sausage.
Yes. Yes. I just got into making sausage, and like the initial jump into it is a little intimidating, but once you fit, you pretty much are not going to screw it up too badly. You can make all kinds. I've made basil, garlic, venison sausages. I've made venison bratwurst, venison cheddar bratwurst, pork bratwurst. I did a buffalo chicken sausage. I did a beef heart Polish kielbasa. You know, there's just, I actually had to put my sausage stuffing things away because I thought my wife was going to kick me out of the house because I was going too crazy with it.
You can't go too crazy with sausage. And I'm glad you brought that up about the heart muscle, because that's one big muscle, and it's a very, very good piece to not get rid of.
Oh, yeah. There's so many things you can do with the heart. When I was a kid growing up, that was made a piece of offal, however you pronounce it, that we kept. We would, night of, we would slice it up, fry it in a pan with some onions, and wolf it down, and it, you know, it's gone. I like pickling heart with jalapeno and onion. Love doing that. You can make, you can smoke a heart and slice it for sandwiches. You can make a, like a ham almost out of it. There's tons of things you can do with that muscle. And it's a great way to introduce people to like a little bit scarier part of wild game. Like, okay, so they're beyond eating the sausage. They're beyond eating the backstrap. They want to try something a little different. You make it taste good, and people will throw down on it.
Well, you know, that's just it, too. And I've not been able to get my wife to eat oxtails or beef tongue yet, even though in the culture I grew up in, my dad being of Mexican descent, he's from Texas, beef tongue was something very common in our house, as was oxtail in a soup. And it used to be one of those things that was used to be really cheap. Now, no, it's not. Wait. When did everybody find out about this? Because now I can't get one at a fair price, much less anything else.
Oh, the same thing. You used to be able to buy pork butt at 25 to 50 cents a pound. I just saw it the other day for $3 a pound. All of the barbecue cuts are starting to become popular, and the price, along with all the other prices, as you know, are going up. So I think it's even more, there's as much of an animal as we can. I personally, I can't do beef tongue. Like, you're not big on the morels. I'm not big on the beef tongue.
Oh, my God.
I think growing up, I grew up on a dairy farm, and my grandma would just boil it and throw it on a plate.
Oh, no.
And I know there are much better ways to do it, but I can't, like, it's a mental thing. I can't get past that.
I you know what? I understand that. And my mom always cooked it this way. She would pierce it and then take whole chunks of garlic clove, put it in there, and then cook it, you know, for a few hours, covered in tinfoil. Brother, I mean, it is, you know, you skin it, and then just the meat, the shredded beef. I have tried to convince my wife how good it is, and she, just because of what it is, will not eat it. And I get
it. Just convince me. I'll try and give it a shot again.
Well, you know, it's all about trying something new, and that's what we love about this show. Casey Farney is joining us here. Hunt Grill Oil is his Facebook page. And you know what? Let's step outside the box of the meat realm right now. Let's talk about that mac and cheese you've been making. Fatty Mac.
Fatty Mac.
Fatty Mac.
Yeah, any recipe that starts with a half a pound of bacon and a quarter of a pound of sausage, and you drain the grease. That's, you know, Fatty Mac is the only name I could come up with it. So, yeah, it's a smoked jalapeno mac and cheese, and it's out of this world. It's like, whenever I'm inviting people over for a barbecue, it's, hey, are you making the mac? Are you making the mac? They don't even call it by name. It's the mac.
The mac.
Like, I would love to branch out and try some other macaroni and cheese. I think I would be crucified.
Well, you know, I mean, these are just things. We're trying to introduce KC to the show here because I have this feeling we're going to have some regular opportunities to talk to you about some of the recipes and some of the things you share on your page, because it's something have needed for quite some time. And now with spring, with steelhead running and salmon on the Great Lakes, wild turkey, you know, we really need to get these smokers and grills going. And we need to, you know, share the love, if you will, on how to do this stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. One thing I will say about the smokers is I started with a pellet smoker, and that gets a lot of bad rap from the traditional smokers. But I would never have started if I hadn't started with something easy. Now I'm looking at upgrading and building my own big smoker, you know, because I keep making more and more food all the time. But for something like that, smoker is a smoker is a smoker. I don't care if it's electric and you're using chips or propane and you're using chips. If it's a pellet smoker, if it's a side burner, stick burner, whatever it is, learn how to use it. You got it sitting in the corner of the garage. Use it. I have a friend who's had one sitting in a box at his house for 6 months. He's been over Saturday, and I teach him how to use it.
Well, you know, and that's and that's the thing about this show, too, is we try and teach people. That's what it's always been about. It's not been about fishing reports or what lure are you using. It's about educating people in ways to do things differently or learn more about what we already love and share that information like you're doing now. You know, I mean, here's a guy that likes to post stuff on his Facebook page. Next thing you know, he's on the radio and we're talking about smoking wild turkeys and making sausages and learning about brining. These are all things, you know what? Now my mind is a little more at ease about wanting to do this because I understand it's time consuming. But there was a few things mm-hmm. that probably scared me about it that there was no need to be afraid of.
And as you learn, you will screw up. I screwed up a lot. I still screw up. But most of the time, your screw-ups are better than anything you can buy at a restaurant anyway.
I'll take that.
And this is a, so just don't be afraid to try.
Casey Farney, Hunt Grill Oil is the Facebook page. Happy accidents, in the words of Bob Ross, when it comes to cooking. I like that. More coming your way. I'm Duran Martinez on Wild Michigan on the Michigan Talk Network. Yeah.